podcast.
The council meets on the 23rd of February to set its budget for the year ahead. I'm pleased to share a podcast from last year where I discussed with my colleague Kirsty Flanagan what goes into behind the scenes in preparing for a budget. So the podcast has been edited to remove information that was specific to last year, and the original does remain elsewhere on my podcast page if you're interested in going back and listening to it in full. I've included on the page links to the Council's budget papers, and there's a helpful summary for all and a link to a briefing by the Scottish Parliament's Independent Information Centre, which provides valuable impartial research.
Okay, so it's the time of year when we start talking or talk more about budgets, and that impacts a lot of services in Argyll and Bute. So the council budget covers schools, care services, roads, bin collections, grass cutting, cemeteries, ports, harbours, our airport, and so much more in terms of supporting communities. So with me talking about that today is Kirsty Flanagan. Now, Kirsty, we talk a lot about you being the council's Section 95 officer, and that's why it's you talking to me today. But maybe start by explaining what that is to people who might not be so familiar with our jargon.
Hi, Pippa. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, the Section 95 officer. So the Section 95 officer is a statutory post that's laid down in the Local Government Scotland Act, and it's somebody that has the overall responsibility for the administration and the governance of the council's financial affairs, quite often referred to in other organisations as the chief financial officer, but in local government terms, it's known as the Section 95 officer in Scotland.
So essentially, you're the primary advisor to our councillors as well on all things finance and money.
Yeah, that's right. The element of responsibility goes with that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Make sure we act properly on all accountancy things. So maybe to give some context, if we start by sort of giving everybody a sense of what is the size of the council's budget and how's that made up? Where do we get our money from?
So just now we have a revenue budget of approximately 250 million, and a large amount of that money comes directly from Scottish Government by way of a Scottish Government grant, and we also raise council tax, as everybody will be aware. And we have a small element of our income that comes from fees and charges. But these are the three main areas of income. So Scottish Government grant, which includes non-domestic rates, council tax, and our fees and charges. So 250 million.
Yeah, sounds like a lot, but it needs to go a long way as well. And in terms of the Scottish Government grant, I mean, that's the bit we all wait with bated breath in December. Normally it's December, and it was last year, although if a couple of years it's been later than that. But the Scottish Government grant is the biggest chunk, as you say. That's, I think I'm right in saying, that's about two-thirds of our funding at least comes from Scottish Government grant, and that's why that announcement of how much we're going to get is so critical, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the largest element of it, and the element that we don't know what conditions may come with it. And it's a bit of an unknown. And, you know, in the last few years, the Scottish Government have only been given us 1 year settlements. So, you know, it used to be, you used to get a 3 year spending review in years gone by. So you would have your indicative allocation for future years. But because we don't have that, it's so crucial coming to December to know what the figure is, and to know, as me as Section 95 officer, whether my assumptions are near what the figure is. It's always quite nerve-wracking when that day comes in December.
Yeah, not necessarily the Christmas present most of us would hope for, but that came 20th of December this year, so there's a good bit of work around this time of year for you and the finance team just to make that assessment of how does it compare. And if people have been following it closely and some of the press coverage about the settlement, It's always that sort of debate about ring-fenced money and non-ring-fenced money, or we sometimes talk about it as well as controllable and non-controllable budgets, and that kind of limits how much the elements of which we've got flexibility to make decisions in relation to. It's probably worth to as we go into sort of the discuss it further, just to start off with that bit of what does that mean if you're not if you're not a sort of local government finance nerd like we have to be.
Yeah, so when the Scottish Government give us our settlement, there is a small element of it, and for us around about 12 million, that is a ring fence specific grant. So things like Gaelic and early learning childcare fall into that category, and ferries fall into that category now as well. However, there's many other areas of the rest of the Scottish Government funding that is not ring-fenced. However, it is for Scottish Government commitments, and there's an expectation that money is spent on these things. So, for example, we have teachers, and everyone will know that there is teacher national ratios. There's social work, and there's been a certain element of protection in social work over the last number of years, and the amount that we pay over to the Health and Social Care Partnership. And there's new initiative always coming on all the time, and there is new monies in the budget this year, but they're for specific purposes. So, you know, at first, if anyone looks at the settlement that's announced in December and it appears to be an increase in funding, well, you know, the devil's in the detail, as because what might appear to be an increase in funding, you have to actually build in additional expenditure to carry out that specific function that the Scottish Government have allocated the money for.
So essentially it comes as conditions. So things like early learning and childcare, is the provision of childcare to free of charge is rolled out, get some additional funding, but has to go to pay that, which is an additional cost essentially. And, yep. And the other bit is where we talk controllable and non-controllable, which comes into where we balance the budget. That's the thing, I suppose. I'm trying to think how you could relate it to your household income. It's a bit like you've got no choice about paying the mortgage and paying your electricity bill and or your rent or those sorts of things. So the amount that's left from your income that you actually have a choice of how you spend it is a much smaller percentage, and the same is true for the council, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So our controllable expenditure equates to around about 72% of that 250 million budget. You know, that's a significant amount of that. So you can imagine in your own household income, if 72% of it you can't touch, and you're left with 28%, you're not left with much at the end of the day that you can exercise that control over. So within that 72%, we've got things like social work. And I mentioned that there's been an element of protection in social work, in some cases quite rightly so, because it's protecting the vulnerable people there. But there's a big amount of that money goes over to Health and Social Care Partnership. The teaching workforce is protected in terms of the national ratios that are out there. We've got some certain contracts in place for our new schools and our waste contract that we've little control over. And then there's things like we're all experiencing just now, like utility costs, where we're seeing them going up and up and up. So we can't exercise too much control over them. So they all add up to 72% of our budget. And the remaining 28% is where, if we've got to make any savings, that's where we've got to make it from. So, you know, if a saving target appears to be 1% across the board, in actual fact, it's a lot more than that for the small portion that you can take the savings out of, and all these other elements of services are just equally as important, you know, services that affect everybody out there, you know, your waste delivery service, you know, your cemeteries, you know, other parts of your schooling, you know, so it's a real challenge for local government at the moment.
Absolutely. And I know from when you get the settlement on the 20th, there's a good bit of work of working out exactly what the implications are for us. So people might think that you get the settlement figure and it's really clear what that means. Just looking at that when the announcement comes through, but it's not quite as straightforward as that, is it?
No. When we get the settlement information, it's accompanied by quite a number of spreadsheets. In fact, a record number this year. I think one day I got over 25 spreadsheets into my inbox that had come from Scottish Government with all the breakdown of some of the detail. So myself and the other Section 95 colleagues across Scotland have quite a few days of going through that information in detail and putting queries back. And I think this year, I haven't got it in front of me, Pippa, but I think we're probably up to about question 80 of the queries that were going back via COSLA to Scottish Government on the settlement. So it's not a straightforward exercise to get to what the final position is.
So COSLA, that's the Convention of Scottish Local Authorities. So that's basically all 32 local authorities in Scotland come together as part of that umbrella organisation. So again, if people sort of follow local government finance in the press, and I'm really conscious we probably do more so than most people do, but there's always sort of two different perspectives that come out in the press. So one which will say we've got more in cash terms of money available, and then COSLA will say actually we've still got to make cuts. So I know it's massively complicated, but in simple terms, where does that difference of perspective come from, and how can we kind of try and explain that as simply as possible to people?
So, the Scottish Government will have announced this year that a local government revenue budget got an increase in funding in cash terms.
And we've got the added challenge of a decreasing population. So why does that matter so much in terms of local government finance?
So with all the elements of what make up the funding from Scottish Government, they have a grant-aided expenditure, as they call it, GAE, you might hear us referring to, and they use lots of variables to work out what everyone's funding is. So it might be population, it might be the age of people, it could be your road length. So in terms of if it's population driven indicator and our population is reducing, it means that we get less of a share of the funding, and therefore that's not of benefit to us. So this is why we're trying to grow our population to safeguard against our funding as well.
Yeah, and it's worth noting that legally we have to set a balanced budget. We can't set out not to make ends meet, as it were, which is quite a key point and something we're all very focused on each year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a key point. And if you actually look in the Local Government Act, they will tell you that the council tax could effectively be your balancing figure. Now that's been really challenging in previous years since there's been a cap in council tax, but this year there's no cap in council tax, and it's up to local authorities to set that. However, you know, we all appreciate the pressures on everybody at the moment with inflation and other things. So I think that would be a really difficult one to raise council tax by too high a level. But that's something that members have to consider. Unfortunately, that's not for me to work out.
And if people are interested in a bit more of understanding what's happening at a national level, there's some quite good independent information available from the Parliamentary Information Centre that's worth looking at.
Yeah, there's a spice briefing that's certainly produced every year around about the time the budget's produced, and they do produce briefings throughout the year as well. So, yeah, people will be able to access that.
Yeah, so they provide the independent sort of research and information for MSPs, so they can, it informs their debates and how they how they make their decisions in Parliament. So it's really useful stuff. Yeah, definitely makes it, it's going to make that more challenging, and we'll probably not know the full impacts until we've completed some of our projects. So we're getting to that point of, and you've alluded to it, it's not us as officers that will make the final decisions. We present the situation and options to our councillors, to our elected members, and they'll ultimately make the decision. So what's the process between now and then for us determining the budget?
So as officers, we'll pull together quite an extensive budget pack of information, and that firstly goes to our Policy and Resources Committee, which is the 17th of February this year. So if anyone's interested in reading more to do with the budget, they would get that information as part of the Policy and Resources Committee papers that will be released on the 10th of February. Policy and Resources Committee, they will make recommendations to the council on the budget, because that's their responsibility as the Policy and Resources Committee, and then the council will make their deliberations on Thursday the 24th of February, and that's the day that they will also set the council tax as well.
And that'll be live webcasted, so people can watch this year if they're so minded.
No pressure. I'll need to get my hair done before that day then.
Yeah, we'll need to, it'll be looking our best. But and that's when we set the council tax as well. And essentially that's then sets the budget that's in place from the 1st of April. So that's the beginning of our financial year, and it'll run through from then. So that information's all on our website. And I think, I mean, as you say, it's a massive big pack of information. There's loads and loads and loads of detail that members have to consider. But there's quite a good sort of summary paper that sits at the front of that pack that if people are interested, that's probably the first place to go and read, because that gives them the most accessible summary of what the position is, isn't it?
That's right. There's a revenue budget summary and there's a capital plan summary. So these are the two key reports within the pack that if anyone is looking to read, that would be the ones I would advise to go to.
I hope that gives a little bit of an insight into the work that goes on behind the scenes in the run-up to the budget. If you're interested in finding out more, please follow the links to the budget pack and to the council papers. And you can now watch our council meetings live streamed, and the links are on our website under the top tasks, read meetings, minutes and agendas. And these podcasts, these webcasts will be available to view afterwards as recordings.
Papers Podcast.